This is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Nebraska is facing more than $1 billion in damage due to historic and devastating flooding this past week. The storm that set things into motion was powerful, a so-called bomb cyclone, but the amount of rain it delivered doesn't account for the flooding on its own. This past fall and winter were among the wettest on record for Nebraska, so that rain fell on frozen, waterlogged ground. And instead of soaking in, it ran straight into already full rivers. Some have called the result biblical. And anytime these kinds of superlatives come into play, one of the first questions that arises is this climate change? Joining me to answer that question is Kevin Trenberth. He's part of the Climate Analysis Section at the National Center for Atmospheric Research, and he's an expert on global warming's effect on storms and precipitation. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Big picture here, is this an example of what we might expect with climate change, or is this a freak one-off?
Well, it's a bit of both. Climate change is certainly playing a role. On the other hand, there is all the weather events that go on, and there's a certain randomness to some of that. And at the moment, we also have an El Nino event. It's relatively modest out in the tropical Pacific, but that has played a key role in the overall storm tracks across North America for some time. And so one of the consequences of that is that it's wiped out the drought in California entirely for the first time for a long time. And the snowfalls in the Rockies have been at record high levels in March. And the snowpack is over 140% throughout the whole state of Colorado. So there's been, you know, record amounts of snowfall occurring before it gets to the Great Plains. But indeed, the winter as a whole, December, January, February, was the wettest on record for the United States. And this is exactly the sort of thing we do expect with climate change. And one of the reasons is because the air is a bit warmer. Therefore, it can hold more moisture. One of the consequences of that also is that some of what would have fallen as snow instead falls as rain. And this is one of the factors in some of the flooding. If it had fallen as snow, it would have sat there for a while and then gradually melted. And instead, if it falls as rain, suddenly it all can run downstream and accumulate. And so that exacerbates some of the flooding.
Well, Kevin Trenberth, let's talk about the bomb cyclone. I mean, your work focuses on the influence of climate change on storms and precipitation. This was an unusually powerful storm, even for a part of the country that is used to winter storms. We're talking about pressure readings comparable to a Category 2 hurricane, wind speeds close to 100 miles an hour. As you just said, some of this we have to attribute just to weather. Extreme weather happens. Big storms happen. But how much of the strength of this storm might be attributable to climate change?
It was very unusual for a storm to develop the way it did, where it did, because the Rockies themselves often sort of interfere with the development of that kind of a storm. And storms prefer to develop once they're free of the influence of these big mountains sticking up into the storm to disrupt the low-level flow that helps the storms get organized. But it just came across a part of the Rockies which didn't do that as much as it might otherwise have. And so there's a chance aspect related to that. Here in Boulder, we had, where I am, we certainly had blizzard conditions, but only for about 4 hours. And it was a lot worse in many other places, including out at the Denver airport. And boy, that those strong winds and the heavy, wet snow that was blasting everything and riming on things was certainly caused a lot of problems.
One of the problems was that this rain couldn't possibly sink in part because the ground was frozen. Temperatures this winter in the Midwest have been particularly cold, below average temperatures. And of course, anytime there are below average winter temperatures, we hear somebody piping up and saying, well, how can these below average temperatures possibly be consistent with climate change? So is there a climate change role in how cold the Midwest winter has been this year?
Well, you know, one of the things which is important in that regard is the snow cover. Normally, you would have a snow cover, and that actually keeps the ground warmer, surprisingly, perhaps. Mm. And in the absence of snow, the ground can indeed cool off and freeze more. And so this is a factor in the way in which, a weird way in which global warming can perversely affect things. But the overall coldness and the storm track, I would have to blame probably a bit more on the El Nino condition, which pushes the storm track across the middle of the country more instead of closer to the Canadian border. And as a result, if the storms are tracking across the middle of the country, they can reach out to the Gulf and pick up the moisture that's coming out of the tropical North Atlantic. There's tons of moisture there. And this bomb cyclone was a big storm, and it had a big outreach. And so the moisture that was flowing into the storm was coming from over 1,000 miles away. And there's also, in the early stages, a component coming from west of Mexico. And so by having the track of where this particular storm was, it has the outreach to pick up the moisture from over the oceans and feed that into the storm itself. And so it's the spatial extent of the storm and the fact that it was raining over such a wide area that is also a factor.
Kevin Trenberth, you've mentioned El Nino a number of times, and I wonder, as someone who studies the link between climate change and, you know, extreme storms and precipitation, when you think about how climate change influences these weather patterns, is climate change changing El Nino, making it stronger, more frequent, something like that, or is climate change introducing completely new and different patterns or factors that influence storms on top of or in addition to El Nino?
Well, El Nino is a natural phenomenon. It's certainly been going on for many centuries, and we have records that suggest in even thousands of years. And there's a lot of natural variability that occurs with the El Nino phenomenon itself. The way in which climate change is clearly influencing the El Nino is through the consequences of the events that are associated with it. And so El Nino phenomenon and its sister, the La Nina, the other phase, are responsible for more of the patterns of droughts and wet areas, the floods around the world, especially throughout the tropics and subtropics. And so the main manifestation that the climate change brings to that is that those floods and droughts are more severe and longer lasting than they otherwise would be. And so in the dry spells, you end up with stronger heat waves and wildfires. And in the wet areas, the rainfall is greater and the risk of flooding is greater.
Obviously, this is a complicated situation in the Midwest, a number of different factors that we've been talking about that led to the historic flooding event. But if you think back to last fall, Hurricane Florence and the flooding in the Carolinas, even before that storm hit, we already had climate scientists saying, you know, we've run the models and the precipitation from this storm is likely to be 50% worse than it would be without climate change. They were already putting numbers to the influence of climate change before and as the storm was hitting. And I haven't really seen those kinds of numbers and that firm attribution of the role of climate change in this event yet. Obviously, the event is still playing out, but I wonder if you have any insights as to why. Is it because it's a more complex event? Is it because the role of climate change here is less certain? Or is this maybe just not an event that has the attention of the researchers who do that kind of work?
This is a very interesting question and involves quite a lot of research. You know, I was involved in writing a study about Hurricane Harvey and its consequences. And there, the overall estimates were that the climate change increased the rainfall probably by about 30% overall. And so there's a number of factors that come into play there, which include not just the original amount of extra moisture that's in the atmosphere, but the fact that the storm gets more intense and longer lasting and bigger. All of those factors come into play as a part of the climate change, and it's quite hard to sort those things out.
I mean, I hear you, though, saying it's worth waiting to get the answer right before we speculate too much about how much of an influence climate change has had on this particular event. And yet, right now is when public attention is focused on this. You know, 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, when that study has been done and published, the event is kind of past. And I wonder, I feel like the media coverage, the climate change angle, if you will, on this story hasn't been terribly prevalent with the flooding in the Midwest this time around. Do you feel like the story is being told adequately and that the public is getting the right message about the role of climate change in this particular event?
I mean, I think you're exactly right. And so there is the opportunity now, but getting it right, most scientists tend to be quite conservative in this respect and want to make sure they get it right. And the real problem here, of course, is that we're taking a phenomenon which is, you might say, is natural variability or natural weather, and then enhancing it in various ways. And so what happens is that we cross thresholds. We go beyond the experience that we've previously had, and a lot of things that have been designed in terms of water management and drainage systems and levees and so on were not designed to cope with that, and therefore things break. You know, this is what scientists refer to as nonlinearity. It's something which is very difficult to deal with, and so instead of $1 billion in damage, suddenly you've got $10 billion, or in the case of Harvey, $100 billion worth of damage. And it's what I call as the straw that breaks the camel's back syndrome. So you add a little, you know, the climate change component, maybe the original extra is 10%, but in terms of the damage, you can easily get 100% or more because of the way in which these factors play into one another. And that's something which is very difficult to assess, and it's one which I think economists in general underestimate.
That's Kevin Trenberth of the Climate Analysis Section at the National Center for Atmospheric Research. Thanks so much.
You're most welcome.